From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. We have an awesome show for you today. We were lucky enough to talk with actor and comedian Eric Stonestreet. You've seen him on television, enormous Chiefs fan. And we got a few minutes with him while he was on the road and got a great insight into his look at the team and the players that he's familiar with, as well as Coach Reed. Some great stuff coming up for you there. Before we get started, I just want to make sure that we cover the news. There's a couple of things going on with injuries that we should talk about. But please check out Seth's work over at The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out Chiefs Digest for all the news. Matt, Derek, and Chris are doing a great job over there. And if you have time, check out RGR Football on YouTube. That's where my stuff goes. So there's a lot of avenues for you to find more information, and we kind of cover a range of topics that are beyond just normal discussion like we do on the show. So please check those out. What's going on today? No news on Eric Berry. Continues to be out as they start the practice week on Wednesday. Also, Justin Houston was very limited, so I don't know that you're going to see him. The big question marks were an update that they're not pushing Mitch Morse, that he's still having concussion symptoms, and it's no prognosis, no time frame for his return. We've talked about that when the injury happened, that this is, you know, not optimal for Mitch in his career. We'll have to see just how long this recovery takes, but I would not count on seeing him any time in the very near future. Likewise, they did not practice Anthony Hitchens or Cam Irving. Irving is just sick. Evidently, it's been a couple of days, but Hitchens obviously has a significant rib injury that we talked about, and I think letting him rest is the correct thing to do. I don't think that he needs to play against the Cardinals, and hopefully they heed that advice and just let the guy try to heal up. So we'll let you know if that changes as the week goes on, especially as they approach this game against the Cardinals. Those that were limited, one other that didn't practice was Sammy Watkins. That foot is bothering him. They're going to let him rest as well, and I think that's perfectly fine. A couple of guys were limited, including starters, Tyreek Hill and Andrew Wiley. So they were out there listed with an injury but practiced. Those who were more towards the full end of the spectrum, from what I understand, those that were there. Two that were significantly limited were obviously, we talked about Houston, but Daniel Sorensen and Frank Zombo as well. So while Sorensen's been activated and he is on the roster, he is limited in practice. So we'll see if that changes. This is just Wednesday's first go. We'll see if Thursday, if he's able to upgrade and maybe be a full participant, then maybe you have a chance at seeing him. But right now, I think they're taking it kind of slow and steady with Sorensen as well. So you might not see him this week, maybe in preparation for the Rams. So hold tight on that. And as soon as we know something, we'll let you know something. So I want to talk about one other thing that's kind of important, because we got some numbers, and I know not everybody's as big a stat hound as I am, but this is important. And the Chiefs lead this league in point differential, in meaning the number of points that they win games by, at 11.22. The Rams are number two. So once again, it reinforces that this matchup really is the cream of the crop, both defense as well as offenses. And it's going to be a supreme battle. I think it's great for the league. I think you're going to see the Chiefs become kind of the poster child for the league pretty soon here, win or lose. So, but the interesting thing was not only that, but looking at the season as a whole, and the team has to look at this as a Super Bowl option season. And beyond the Rams, what you see is starting this week with the Cardinals lose by almost as many points as the Chiefs win by every week. This is one of the bottom teams. And the other team that they are going to see a couple of times this season, the Chiefs are going to play the Raiders twice, and they're losing by an average of almost 14 points a game. So when you put it all together, the Chiefs look to have a 20-plus point advantage, in at least an average, against three of their remaining games, which gets them to the point now where you're talking about easily, even if things were to become troublesome against other teams, you're talking about 12 wins. I mean, we can legitimately look at this and see that there is an option here for this team to push past 12. And I think that's something that we have to be aware of before it happens so that we can enjoy it just that much more. For fans out there everywhere, this next run is going to be really critical. Starting this week, you want to see them put up a dominant performance and be really tuned up and ready to go for this big showdown against the Rams. Whatever the outcome of the Rams game is, even if the Chiefs should fall to, what would it be, 9-2 at that point, should everything work out against the Cardinals. That is a place to be in that is rarefied air even for this franchise. So there's not any reason to believe that this team cannot be amongst the best in its history for this organization, as well as getting ready for the postseason. I just wanted to put that out there as we get into the meat of this schedule that looks to be like significantly better on the backside of the schedule. So that said, we are going to get into our conversation with Eric Stonestreet, Chiefs Uber fan, and he was nice enough to give us a nice chunk of time. We'll do our first break right away so we don't have to interrupt that interview twice. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Okay, guys, let's talk about your bedroom. You remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. It brings you the first chewable from the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and no awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships theirs direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Very excited. I know you guys are too, to welcome Eric Stonestreet to this show. Thank you for being with us, Eric.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
First question I have for you. How long have you been a Chiefs fan?
Well, I've been a Chiefs fan since I can really remember liking football. I mean, at least for the, you know, third, fourth grade when I was probably interested in going to games. My uncle was one of the first season ticket holders at Old Municipal Stadium, and then when transferred over to Arrowhead, so he had tickets like 25 rows down right on the 50-yard line. So we had those tickets for a while, and then when I was a junior in high school, we got tickets on the second row, section 130. Then it was the family section. It was a no alcohol section. So we sat in that section for a while, and, you know, just basically like everybody else in Kansas City, just my whole life. And as far as when I was able to understand like what the sport was, you know.
Eric, I just want to start before I ask a question. Thank you for your appearance in what is my favorite movie of all time, Almost Famous.
Oh, yeah.
I think you made it personally. I think Cameron should thank you. But beyond that and the time that it came out, watching this evolution of this team and being a fan for so long, what is your impression of what the transformation has been with Andy Reid at the helm?
Well, you know, a calm, cool, steady presence, in my opinion. I don't know Andy, you know, Coach Reid personally, but what my impression of him is that he's a steadying, calm, you know, reliable, consistent force for his players. There's never any panic. I mean, you know, look, Andy's gotten his fair share of like clock management problems and can he win the big one, but look, we're celebrating a coach that's won 200 and what is it, two or three games now. So we just, you know, we had Marty Schottenheimer and look what we haven't had that consistency since then. And so he's brought a consistency back to the city, to the team, and a reliability that I feel like his team buys into. They love him. And I think that's a huge part of the transformation is that, you know, his team loves him. If his team loves him, they're going to play for him. They're going to do what they need to do for him. And that's going to translate into, you know, the city getting behind him. I said when Andy, you know, came to Kansas City that I loved the hire, but it also meant that I had a Halloween costume for as long as he was the Chiefs coach.
Well, and now you look at another transformation that's going on with Andy Reid, with now Patrick Mahomes, the second QB in Kansas City. What have you seen from Mahomes this season, and how exciting has that been to you?
Well, I don't think I have the words. I think I just speak for every Chiefs fan and every person in Kansas City as far as what Mahomes being in Kansas City means for us. We've never had it. You know, we tried to get it with Todd Blackledge, but that didn't work out. But we've never had what we have now, which is our own quarterback, not Steve DeBerg, not Elvis Gerback, not Matt Castle, not, you know, Trent Green, who I love. I love Trent Green as a human being, as a person, love what he did when he was in Kansas City, not Rich Gannon, not all these guys that, not the most famous one, Joe Montana, but our guy. This is a guy we moved up in the draft to get. We went after him. We identified that he would fit our, you know, what Andy wanted perfectly. Andy went after him with John and Brett, and they got him. So the idea that we now have a franchise quarterback, the future of a team, and we can build this team around him like they did in Dallas with Troy Aikman, like they did in San Fran with Steve Young and Joe Montana, like they did in Green Bay with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. We get to do that now. We get to build the pieces around him that are going to just make him better and better every year. So needless to say, I'm stoked. I'm so happy. It's contagious. And, you know, and look at it this way. You know, I have Dodgers season tickets, okay? I'd go to Dodgers games all the time. And when I became a Dodgers fan, I'm a Royals fan too, but I live in Los Angeles, so everybody just calm down. you know, when I started going to Dodgers games and watching Clayton Kershaw pitch, it became possible to imagine that he wouldn't give up a hit, or he wouldn't give up a run. And you think like, oh, Clayton's pitching today, so there may not, you know, we might win 3-0 with no hits or whatever. And the same is true with Patrick Mahomes. I've never, as a Chiefs fan, been in a situation where it's 3rd and 16 and think like, oh, we might pick this up. Like, we might get this. So it's so exciting to be watching TV or being at the games. I've been to, you know, I think 3 or 4 games this season, and know that 3rd and 8, 3rd and 16, false start, whatever it is on 2nd down, and now it's 2nd and 15. I still feel confident. First time I've ever felt that way as a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure how much time you've gotten to spend with Mahomes himself, but I know you spent some time with some of the other players. I saw your appearance with Mitch Schwartz earlier this season. And in general, when you're at games, when you're around the facility, how do you feel about not just Mahomes, but how this season is different from years past?
Well, it's infectious. I mean, there's no doubt that the players believe in what we've got in our skilled players. I mean, look at what we've got. We've got a guy that they believe can beat anybody on the outside. We've got a guy in the backfield that they believe can run over anybody and still stay on his feet and score a touchdown. They've got a guy that believes they can drop back, make an improvised play, and launch a ball off 1 foot falling backwards 40 yards on a rope. So, I mean, just think about how that would make you feel. Like, you feel pretty empowered. And, you know, football, that's why football is the greatest sport, in my opinion, ever, because it's 11 guys, and if your 11 guys do your job better than their 11 guys, you will win the game. And what it takes to, you know, for me as a fan and somebody who understands the game of football and who plays a football coach on TV, I might add, is that, you know, that's inspirational. When you know that you've got a guy that can beat your guy on the outside, when you've got a guy in the backfield that beat his guy, it makes you want to make sure you beat your guy. And when you are functioning as an 11-person unit and you know that every guy is committed to beating their guy individually in battle, you kind of become unstoppable.
Well, in talking about becoming unstoppable, you look at what Kansas City's dealt with when it comes to injuries on the offensive line this year, and just through the team in general, and they keep winning. You look at what they've been able to do. You know, they're on their 3rd center. They're on their 2nd right guard. Justin Houston hasn't played. Eric Berry hasn't played much or at all. You know, is it just me, or does it seem like depth has really stepped up this year, for one, and for two, Do you think that Mahomes has really helped the offensive line with the way he plays? Because he just doesn't take sacks. He gets out of situations.
Well, you know, and look, our tackles and are amazing. I mean, Mitchell Schwartz, you know, it's crazy he's not in the Pro Bowl every year. And Fish has done a great job too. I mean, the pressures, I don't think Austin, the new guy that stepped in, and Wiley and Schwartz gave up a pressure against Cleveland, and that is a good defensive line. I mean, that he at number 90, Schwartz was going against, and what's his name on the other end, Myles Garrett. Those guys are studs. And look at what Mitchell's done to Von Miller. You know, here's the thing I always told people about our offensive line. When Khalil Mack got traded to the Bears and they were showing all these highlights, you never saw Khalil Mack getting a sack against Mitchell Schwartz. Mitchell Schwartz is like steady as hell over there, and Wiley stepped in a big way. You know, Mitch Morse is as strong as an offensive lineman as you can. Sad to see him go down with a concussion. He'll be back hopefully. Jordan Devey stepped in. Jordan Devey, like, playing an entire game with, and I have like inside information on that. He's a friend of mine. I knew right away that he hurt his pectoral muscle. He thought he had hurt his, like, he thought he had a bruised bicep or something like that. He didn't know what he was playing with. He tore his pectoral muscle on the 10th play of the game. Mahomes looked at him and said, "You're not going anywhere." He's like, "No, I'm with you the whole game." Finished the game with what turned out to be a torn pec. That's insane. Like, I tweeted that my pinky hurt, and I was thinking about seeing an orthopedic surgeon about it, which is like, just imagine snapping the ball with your right hand and then blocking a good defense. I mean, he was blocking, what's his name? Geno Atkins and the other guy from number 99 for that team. I can't think of his name right now. But the fact that he finished that game, my point of all that is, if Jordan was our backup center and backup swing guard, and that's the toughness that one of our backups has, like Andy Reid and Brett Veach and all those guys, if they say they want a tough team, that personifies toughness. The fact that he played that game with a torn pec. What I'm saying is, I would imagine that's their mentality, all of them across the board. Cam Irving has stepped up in a big way. He's doing great. Fish, I know Fish is tough. And now Austin Reeder, I think, is his last name in the middle. And Wiley, I mean, you can't say enough about the outside, you know, Fish and Schwartz and how they play. I mean, Schwartz has never missed a snap of his career in high school, college, and his professional career. Like, that's ridiculous, right? Ridiculous.
It is out there.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, just think about what he's doing out on an island against Von Miller, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, some of the players that he's playing against, and he's never missed a snap. I feel like I should be knocking on wood. I don't want to, like, you know, jinx the poor guy or anything like that. But, like, it's just it's amazing. It's truly amazing. So, yes, I think the offensive line has stepped up in a big way. They're professional athletes. They're good at their job. They wouldn't be on an NFL roster and a Kansas City Chief roster if they weren't good. And again, it goes back to what I'm saying. It's like they got a quarterback back there that they realize and recognize as a franchise. Like, they know what they do. You know, I've gotten to know a few offensive linemen, and I'm always struck with how kind of old souls they are. And it kind of got explained to me as like, well, they're the guys, you know, they're 24-year-old guys, 25-year-old guys, but they're the guys on the football field that if they don't do their job, somebody gets hurt. So they have this high sense of responsibility out there on that football field. So it makes sense that, you know, they kind of have the spirit that they have, but it also makes sense that, you know, in this situation, they know who's back there. You know, it's not that they blocked any less for Alex, but they know. And then Patrick's ability, I mean, Alex Smith was a good scrambler too, but Pat's ability to get away from things and just be the steady force back there, no doubt, is making them elevate their play.
Well, and the other thing that I just want to throw out real quick that has impressed me with the offensive line this season is you've watched Cam Irving, you've watched Andrew Wiley, you've watched different guys. If anybody lays a finger on Mahomes in a way that is after the whistle or out of bounds or anything, those linemen aren't having it.
Oh, no. I mean, watch that Monday night game when Jordan, you know, hurt his pec, and he got face mask to face mask with that guy from Cincinnati, and little did any of us know that he was down an arm. He didn't even have an arm in that battle. So I love the spirit. I love it. I mean, I love the offensive line. It's always what I wanted to be when I thought I would ever get to play football. So I have a special place for the O-line, and they don't get enough love. And I don't think our tackles and Mitch and Fish get enough love nationally. I was watching a game when freaking Spielman, called Mitchell Schwartz an okay player. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me that you just called him an okay player? Cleveland knows they messed up by not, rescinding his contract. They wish they had him right now, for sure.
Well, and you are in a unique position, living where you live for work, dealing with news about the Rams, that upcoming matchup. Aside from that, when you look on the whole, how do you feel about where this Chiefs team can end up? Do you think it includes a Super Bowl? How do you feel about it?
Well, listen, that I wish that game was here in Los Angeles. The one, of course, the year we're playing the NFC West, and I live in Los Angeles, we're going to go to Mexico and play the Rams, but whatever. It bummed me out, but, look, that's a couple things that need to happen. We need to keep winning, and we need the Patriots to lose. I mean, if we get home field advantage moving through the playoffs, I don't think I'm being a homer when I say Chiefs are going to be tough to beat. I mean, you look how the fans showed up on third and fives and third and longs in the Denver game and that Cincinnati game and that had that stadium rocking. Look, I've had the privilege and good fortune to be able to go to other stadiums, and that's not taking anything away from other towns and other stadiums, but we know we have a special atmosphere there. We know that. It's undeniable. I talked to Brett Veach the other day when I was home for the game. I said, how cool is it that you've been other places, but now you're at Arrowhead, and you can legitimately say that we have the best parking lot pregame and we have the best atmosphere in the NFL. He's like, no doubt. It just takes going there one time to understand how special it is on a Sunday afternoon and how special it is on a Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night, whatever it is. So we need the home field advantage. I mean, I'm not a football coach, and I'm, not in, but do I believe that the Chiefs believe they have the tools and people in place to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl? I absolutely do. And with those injuries coming back, the Justin Houstons, the hopefully Eric Berry's, Daniel Sorensen getting off the IR today, I mean, it's exciting. But you also know that every Sunday they line up against another team that's super qualified to win a football game. We just have to keep winning, or, we got to get over the Patriots, bottom line.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love talking Chiefs football. You guys have a good one.
And that is Eric Stonestreet. We really appreciate him joining the show. It was great to talk to him. And folks, make sure you check him out on Twitter. It's in the show notes. Great fan of this organization, and another one of the big famous folks that happens to be from the area and really comes through and helps the Chiefs get some national attention. So hope you all enjoyed that. It was a blast for us. We're going to leave you for today. We'll be back. We will have a preview show for this game against the Cardinals tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us today, and we will talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.